Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hail Hydra. Ho gang, how are you? Kevin Goatee here, gutting the sacred cow. It's now time for you folks to hear the live show. We had Bill and Joanne come back for the umpteenth time, or their second live show, and they chose to do Office Space. Well, here is the show we did for those guys and girls who came to our show March 26th at the Carasotis Movie Theater in Secaucus. Bill and Joanne chose Office Space, the 1999 cult classic. I'm going to need you to listen to the entire episode and then leave us a 5-star rating, 2 or 3 sentence review, guttingthesacredcow@gmail.com, also to advertise with us or just to say hello. And thanks again for being part of your week with you every week for an hour. We love you for that. We'll see you soon. And here's Bill and Joanne doing Office Space, the live show.
Gather around.
Welcome to the live Gutting the Sacred Cow podcast.
Woo!
Yay! Oh my God, I'm Kevin Goatee. You know Kevin is real. And you know these two lovely fine folks in the middle, the lovely, beautiful Joanne Nosachinski.
Yeah!
Thank you. I don't know if this is working again.
Uh-oh. And her leper co-host for morning show, Bill Schultz.
Billy.
And a little bit Bill Lumberg and a little bit Billie Jean King. I'm like a combination of both.
I'm like, he's not my lover.
No, Billie Jean King.
But I'm just the one with the sun. Oh, that thought. Oh, not that. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Someone didn't pass Improv 101, thank God. Are we still going? We're good? Oh, okay. Well, listen, we are here and we just saw Office Space. Mm-hmm. 1999. I forgot something. It's quote time. Oh, hey, Yankees, you can take your apology and your trophy and shove it up straight up your ass. Kevin Israel, name that film.
Oh, I was thinking quotes for this.
No. Yeah, well, I got ahead. I'm sorry. I'm a little riled up.
Say this. Bad say it again. Bears.
God damn you, Bill Schultz.
Well, if you're gonna do it, it was right in front of him.
You couldn't.
How
even
are
give
you
a
lawyer?
Three
misses. You're not using your brain.
I didn't hear what he said. I was looking for the.
Quotes. Hey, Yankees, you can take your apology and your trophy and shove it straight up your ass. That's why I said.
Did he know you? Was that planned?
No, it was 100% not planned. It's printed out. That's when he wore the jersey. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Billy already is ruining this episode.
Oh, sorry. No wonder they bumped you guys till 12. Not you, Joanne. Bill.
Thank you.
Office Space
right here.
Came out in 1999, a budget at the time of $10 million, a box office haul of $12 million.
Ah, just squeaked it by.
Bomb. IMDb, as we all know, is a scale of 1 through 10 with decimal points. Audience, you get to play along for your choice of a coffee mug, a hat, or Bill's thong and this T-shirt. You tell me which one to play for. Tell out guesses. IMDb, 1 through 10 with decimal points. Let's hear it. Go. 4.5, no. 9, but not no.
7.6.
7.6, no.
8.8,
no. 7.2, no. 8.2, no.
8.8.
No, 6.8. I know. We got the jokes,
close?
Douglas. We got the jokes here, buddy. We're doing all right.
Is anybody close?
There are close. That's the same question.
I will tell you this. Douglas was the closest. 7.7! The STSD guys get a choice of a hat, a T-shirt, or a mug. And also, since they're here and I brought them up, the STSD guys have a present. These are the guys who do our artwork every week because they got sick and tired of seeing my shitty Photoshop.
the best.
So we can't thank you guys enough. We've got a nice bottle of Tito's vodka, straight up thank you.
Oh,
for you folks. That's right. Come and get it after that.
Half empty.
I don't know what that's going that for. All right. I thought that was my phone, but it's not. Now, critics, Rotten Tomatoes score. 1 through 100, you know it. Shout it out so the next person can pick out. What do you guys, yes, you guys want? Do you want the hat, the mug, or the shirt? The hat is yours. Shirt or mug, Rotten Tomatoes critic score. Take a guess. Go.
89 is wrong.
82 is wrong. 78 is wrong. 64 is wrong. 69, dude. No, it's not. 100. You can go fuck yourself. My brother's trying to be funny. I'm the funny one and the good-looking one. Stop it. Next one. 82 is not it. Close. 84, no. 85, no. No. Boy, you guys would suck in the mountain climber, I got to tell you. 80. Who said 81?
Oh, somebody said close. 81. Somebody
well, it's on 81. That's why. No, 83. 80 winner! Give it to Aunt Kathy's Cooters over there. Shirt or the mug, Matt Carangelo? T-shirt it is. Last one. Audience score, Office Space, go.
1 through 100.
Nicole, don't you listen to the podcast? 90 close.
91.
No, 99, 91. 88, no. 99, no. 65, no. 93 is a winner! Someone is now has another piece of flair to bring to the
cattle.
Yeah. She's right next to you. Don't apply to her as cattle. That's very rude, Bill. Quotes! The Nazis had flair, but they made the Jews wear them instead. That's a good one. Good luck with the layoffs. Hope they go well. Michael Bolton, I'm not changing my name. I'm not the one who sucks. Kevin Israel, what quotes stood out to you, buddy?
I never liked paying bills, so I'm not going to do that anymore either.
Fair. How about you, Joe?
I don't really like talking about my flair.
Fair.
Who does?
How about you, Schulte?
Oh, God.
I like how you're always stumped by the format of the show that you've done
17
times.
You
both took two
of mine. Pages of notes, but not a single quote.
I will mostly just cut and paste fun facts.
That's my job.
Will, yeah. Oh, God.
Okay, moving on.
About it. All right.
Wow.
Get back to me.
Let's call him Bill Speed Bump Schulte from now on. Five fun facts.
Five fun facts. Five fun facts for you right now. It's time for five fun more facts. Five fun facts for you right now.
Should we sing the song Five Fun Facts, but in the key
Please
of
don't.
Staying alive?
No.
Okay.
No.
Five fun facts while Office Space.
Fun.
Staying alive. Five fun facts. That's Joanne's favorite film, Staying Alive. If you didn't know that, now you do.
Zero on Rotten Tomatoes.
That and Revenge of the Nerds 2 share that honor. And unfortunately, Police Academy 4, my favorite. While Office Space was in production, the studio executives at the top suddenly decided that the movie would be more marketable with a PG-13 rating and planned to get Mike Judge to seek a PG-13 rating. When this came down to the cast and crew, they were all horrified. David Herman, a.k.a. Michael Bolton, and some cast members agreed to start dropping more F-bombs in each scene to make getting a PG-13 classification harder so that the studio would drop the idea.
Good for them. Damn the man.
Prior to Ron Livingston's arguably perfect casting the lead role of Peter Gibbons in Office Space, the part was originally offered to, take a guess, folks, huge star in the 90s and 2000s.
Charlie Sheen.
I wish. He'd be snorting cocaine off that guy's face and dick.
Do I get some sweet cafe press items if I get this?
No, he's probably dead by then.
Who, what?
Chris Farley. Was he dead by then?
Will Ferrell, no. Not Will Ferrell, no. Chris Farley, no.
What do I get if I get this?
A
vicious reach around from Tony Legata, the audio guy.
I'll take it. Matt Damon.
No.
Colin Farrell.
Colin Farrell. Ben Affleck.
Oh, I would have loved to see
that.
They
wanted both Ben Affleck and Matt Damon.
He did want Matt Damon. I just wanted to fuck with you a bit, Bill. Yeah,
yes.
Matt Damon was also the top studio choice. This was right after Good Will Hunting, too.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine that?
I'm imagining it.
Who else was offered? Ready? Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson auditioned to play Lawrence before Diedrich Bader was chosen, and whom was considered to play Joanna before Jennifer Aniston. Hint, huge I'm going to say huge. Big star, famous daughter of a celebrity.
Oh.
He gave you a hint with one word he just said.
The ketchup lady.
Ketchup lady? What?
The lady who...
Gwyneth Paltrow, no, but I like where your head is on that, Paladino. Close. Huh?
Kate Hudson.
Kate Hudson.
Oh, wow. I
didn't
even know that.
She almost was famous. I gave you a hint.
She said, ugh, everyone hates Americans because they just want to put more ketchup on things.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Who? Paltrow said that?
No, Hudson.
Kate Hudson said that. Oh. She should also make a candle out of her pussy smell, too, while she's at it. Despite the financial failure of Office Space, the studio was eager to make a sequel. The original idea had made its money back in cable broadcasts and home media sales after becoming a cult classic. However, Mike Judge had a nightmarish experience making the first film and did not want to go through it again, so he turned down the opportunity to direct a sequel. Are we better for that or not?
Yes. Yes.
Agreed. Because of Office Space, TGI Fridays was inspired to quit with the flair. Consequently, it had been phased out by the restaurant chain in 2005. Judge said that one of his assistant directors asked a Friday's employee about the change. He was told they, quote, removed it because of that movie, Office Space. That's like saying those people, but being very generic in their description.
I'm against that. I miss the flair.
Do you?
Yeah, a little bit. You
Do you think
you
those mozzarella sticks taste that much worse with the flair? Because those
you
sticks
suck.
You knew
where you were at when you saw the flair.
You really needed the buttons to know you were in a Friday's?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All the crap on the wall didn't tell you?
Yeah. The signs, methed out eyes of the hostess leading to your table didn't clue you in? Pro Chili's, motherfuckers.
Fool hands all the way.
Yeah. As October 2018, the term ass clown officially entered Webster's Dictionary. Mike Judge is credited first using an Office Space. There you go, kids. Ass clown.
I'd forgotten it came from that movie.
I don't think it came from that movie.
I agree. So. I thought it was around a lot longer than that. And now it is time for everyone's favorite topic, Ask a Gutter.
Ask a Gutter. You gotta ask a gutter.
So if you folks have questions, well, to ask our panelists, because normally the part is where we ask for you, please feel free to ask them a question about their thoughts on this film. We'll start with Eric first, and then we'll alternate if you guys want to ask a question. I can't stand Office Space. No, I hated this film. I wish I was going to be there tonight. Go get him, Bill Schultz and Joanne.
Oh, that's nice.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wait, that wasn't a question. He said he wished he was going to be here.
Right. No.
Just so we're clear.
Well, Crystal, thank you. Ken Bourne Turner, if you could destroy a piece of office equipment from any of your past or current jobs, what would it be? Explain in detail how you would destroy it. Serious detail. Make the live audience nervous. Bill, show them your arrest record. That ought to start things off with a bang.
Well, I would destroy, and this is very inside baseball, we have a person we work with called Gino Bisconti, and he has all these stickers everywhere that says COVID is just the flu with a better publicist. Bit of an anti-vaxxer that way.
No,
not even a little bit.
And these stickers are everywhere, so I would destroy that. Not because I care about whatever trying attempt he's doing politically. I just hate looking at them. So that I would burn. Both.
Oh, like Gino. Hey, Joanne, what about you? What would you destroy besides Bill?
I have destroyed this many times at many places of work, and that is the work bathroom.
Wow. Oh, I knew it was only a matter of time.
She likes her fiber.
I was going to say, Joanne has yet to work a shit reference in, and boy, that train's never late.
There you go.
There she is.
Why do you think she's on the show all the time? Nemirovsky, at Bill and Joe, this is a common one. What everyday piece of office equipment would you destroy, and why is it at Turdeye, parentheses, Garrett?
Oh, I love Garrett.
Yeah, okay. Bill?
Wait, so we would destroy Third Eye or not?
Turd Eye.
What else would we destroy?
Listen, this is Ask a Gutter, not Ask the Host.
Yeah. Well, the little baby thing I don't like.
Oh, the fucking satanic baby with the bottle?
Yeah, I like that we have a little baby with very sharp teeth that she probably made when she thought she was taking a shit. And it's in our set now.
You bought it for our set.
Now it's like behind the curtain. Now you're showing.
Or the suction cup dildo on the glass on the producer's window.
I hate that thing. Yeah.
Why does it fit all the way in? Is that why?
It comes out my mouth.
Yeah,
I don't like it.
Working at Compound, I've never really been at a place where I was like, please, I want more boring stuff in this room.
Right.
Yeah.
We have too much of the, like, interesting and
lots
some might say fun
ribs
stuff.
For her pleasure or mine.
The coolest, though, like tell them about the tombstone.
Oh, that, yeah, we just got that. We used to be called Mornin'. Horrible title. Now we're called Back Talk because we're going to keep going with it because we went to the afternoon. And someone made us a tombstone in memoriam of Mornin', and it was made to look like Doc Brown's tombstone in Back to the Future
awesome.
3. And the person that made it, who's still anonymous, is pissed off at me for not realizing that.
And it says shot.
As much of a dork as I am, I didn't get
it. I love that. It says shot in the back over a matter of $80.
Yeah, like, I should have got it from
brilliant.
There, yeah.
My
yeah.
brother's really like, yep, that's a winner.
I loved it.
Hopper 2400. We just did an episode. Oh, that's Borat. Never mind. Katie Cohen wants to know. Superfan Katie wants to know, sitting right front and center. Have you ever worked for a real life Lumberg?
Yes.
Huh.
A little detail would be, you know, appreciated.
Well, I'm waiting for the lady.
Oh.
I'm a gentleman.
I see.
Even though I look like Billie Jean King, I'm a dude.
I'm still thinking.
Well, I got a weird one.
By the way, your glasses look like you went on a date with Martina Navratilova last week.
They'd be foggier. She's hot. God, you can look him up. His name is...
Greg Gutfeld.
He was... the editor-in-chief of Men's Fitness. And obviously, I work there. I mean, look at me. And he was a heroin addict, bisexual with an open marriage... And
you're going to want to edit this out, Kev.
No, I'm not.
Okay. No, I mean,
this is in the fucking
good luck
final
with the lawsuit.
He's fallen off the face of the earth, but he used to be big like 20 years ago. And I would work for him, and I was a freelancer at the time. And aside from the bisexual part, aside from the heroin part, well, he tried to do that with me, but I did consider myself, he tried to do it with all of our staff. But he was Lumberg aside from those other factors. He'd come up to your desk, say the exact same things that Lumberg did in the same cadence, but instead of, like, asking about TPS reports, he'd ask you to comment on his alligator leather boots. And that would be the conversation you would have, and then he'd maybe comment on your performance.
I don't understand.
In a weird, like, soulless cadence that Lumberg had, but again, bisexual heroin addict.
Alligator boots. I don't understand gay code. Can you please elaborate for me?
Actual alligator boots.
I
it was
see.
Before
oh,
PETA was
metaphor.
As big. But, yeah. I would say Dan Bowden. He's easy Google.
I may have to bleep this out.
No, yeah. No. By the way, all confirmable.
You can't afford a lawsuit. I've been in your apartment.
No one sue me.
He's not the one who gets sued there, fella.
Oh, fuck.
Actually, you do have a lawyer on staff.
Oh.
No. Actually, all this is confirmable. You can Google all of it. Everything I said.
Am
is
I liable there, Kevin?
Yeah.
No, edit. All right.
You won't have to edit anything. It's all true.
Oh, boy. That doesn't matter.
Well, you asked a question.
It's all true. He was a heroin addict bisexual.
I meant Anthony Cumia. Replace it with all of that.
Did he have a tattoo above
his ass? I'll say it two more times. Anthony Cumia. Replace it.
Did he have a tattoo above his ass that says anything goes, sailor?
Okay. Actually, Gino has one kind of like me.
Charges.
Before we get to our fine guest, hey, Kevin, it's time to talk about our sponsor. Of course,
yeah.
Athletic Greens. We sure need Athletic Greens today after all of us are quaffing many adult beverages. Athletic Greens, as we know, is a fantastic green powder you pour in your drink, your juices every day to help keep you healthy and hydrated. Kevin, tell us about your relationship with Athletic Greens. When do you use it and how?
I love it. It's my drink in the morning. It substitutes for my first cup of coffee.
Right.
It gives me focus, gives me energy. And unlike most supplements, it doesn't taste like a chalky disaster. It's actually pretty delicious. So it's good all around. Bill, don't say whatever you're about to say.
You're losing Joanne. Does it keep you regular?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh,
yeah. She's like back.
I was going to ask, but I know it's a read.
Like a baby's heartbeat. Yes, it's 7,000 five-star reviews. And it's vegan-friendly, paleo-friendly, keto-friendly, and it costs less than $3 a day. So, listen.
Man.
Do us a solid. Go to athleticgreens.com/GTSC. Get 5 free travel packs and a year's supply of vitamin D. athleticgreens.com/GTSC. And now it's time for the guests to sharpen their knives, their swing line staplers, and sharpen their office politics and be ready to stab this sacred cow. So, Kevin Israel, let's invite them to
Gut the Sacred Cow.
Hey, it was in perfect unison this time. No delay over the internet.
Twice. It's been done twice.
Yeah. Fire away, you crazy kids.
Should we do it together? Do you want to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
Ooh, I like that.
Wow, all right.
Woman takes charge. Good.
Listen, a lot of people really love this film, and I'm not just going to be here and shit all over it because to be a contrarian or whatever. There is one really great thing that this movie got right, and that is that all Joannas are sluts. This is something I have said as a Joanne. It is something I have noticed, and I say all the time, think about a Joanna you know. She is a slut. And if you don't like that, I'll call her sexually empowered. I will, but, you know, she's been around. So Jennifer Aniston's character, obviously, they got that right. So I do. I commend these filmmakers for that. Otherwise, the main thing wrong with this movie is it had the wrong lead character.
Okay.
It should have been Michael Bolton's movie. And here's why. Peter is the villain. Peter is the fucking worst. He whines. He's a little bitch. He doesn't do any work. Then he goes back to work and continues to not do any work. And I'm like, why are you happier now? You're doing the exact same thing.
Right.
He takes long coffee breaks. He gets his friends into trouble. And at the end of it all, he's like, yeah, I'm just going to be happy being a construction worker. It doesn't make any sense. But Michael Bolton, It would be so much more interesting to see his journey. And also, all of the music is his. The entire soundtrack of this movie is his, and he's the interesting one. He has the posters in his little cubicle. He has a whole life and hobbies and things, and I want to know more about him. I do not care about Peter. Also, casting, what's his name, Ron Livingston as Peter.
Right.
Worst thing ever, because it's Berger from Sex and the City. And Berger from Sex and the City was the worst. I didn't care about him as Berger either. This guy, maybe it's just him as an actor, but I cannot stand him.
Didn't like him in Swingers.
I don't think I saw a Swinger. Yeah.
What in the goddamn fuck?
Not a huge part.
Was John Travolta in it?
No.
Then I did
Good
not see
Lord.
It.
Good Lord. Again, you're barking up the wrong tree.
Yeah. So that really is my main argument. And I think it's the biggest one. The pacing, there's some issues with that. Them getting into the plot. The hypnotism. Did he get a lobotomy? What was that? He's walking around like he got part of his brain removed. Although, Bill, here's a really great excuse for the next time you don't show up to our show. Just say you were hypnotized the day before.
And the guy died.
Pen.
Yeah. There you go. Those are my thoughts. Also, come on, the stapler at the end. It's the one thing that survived.
That's the rosebud of the film, Joanne.
Yes.
But it's so, I didn't like that. Also, I mean, the glaring issue, he still would have been caught, even though there was a fire.
Yes.
It's an employee account number. Like, you couldn't see that someone made a really huge withdrawal.
Right.
From their, like, credit union account. So strange.
It's the equivalent of Zoolander when they're trying to get rid of the files and they just try to destroy the computer. It doesn't work that way. It's already out in the ether. Yeah.
All right, Bill, you go ahead.
Joanne, you call yourself a woman.
Jesus. What do you do? The Supreme Court judge of process here?
Well, I mean,
I don't know biology either. I guess
you claim to be a woman. You claim to know something about Sex in the City, correct?
Yeah.
And yet you neglect the obvious. Berger, i.e., Ron Livingston, who was Peter in this movie, broke up with Carrie with a post-it.
Yes.
Let me repeat that: a post-it. The entire movie is essentially a post-it. The actual poster for the movie was a man covered in Post-its.
Oh.
It's Office Space. The fact that you can't get one from the other means I don't even know if you even watched it.
Wait. Anyone else is stuck
Sex
on the
and
fact
City.
That, yeah. Anyone stuck on the fact that Bill just knows the entire Sex and the City through lines here?
All right, let's forget
I'm
about that part.
Flummoxed.
I'm flummoxed. Starting to be a little more Billie Jean King than Bill Lumberg in that sense. But the whole thing with Mike Judge is, and again, there's a lot to like about this movie because there's a lot that's kind of fucking great. But the thing with Mike Judge
is... Please don't hit the table, Bill.
He has... Sorry. He has made himself someone that always does comedies with a message. Even Beavis and Butthead was the decline of Western civilization, and it was better than whatever Penelope Spheres did. Idiocracy, I know you have arguments against it.
Overrated.
It was not at the time, as far as the message was concerned. Now everyone accepts the fact that we're getting dumber and fatter, and this is the result. At the time, it was still a little revolutionary. And Silicon Valley finally figured it out and showed that in Silicon Valley, you could start off as being like, just do good, or whatever that stupid Google ethos is, and end up becoming a horrible piece of shit. I am still not clear what the message of this movie is. And he has to have a message because, you know, it's like Wes Anderson has to be twee and look like he, you know, he can't not have flannel in the movie. Or, you know, like Scorsese can't have something without mafia ties. This is what Judge does.
You don't know what the message of this movie is?
What is the message? You tell me.
That happiness isn't found in your job.
But...
Wow.
He found happiness in a job that he got right afterwards that got paid less than most people who have that job paid.
And it wasn't – oh, my God. Well, there goes our whole construction contingent.
I apologize to the construction contingent, but
I've
been in that
contingent. She's okay. She didn't say it in Spanish. It's all right, Joanne. You're fine.
How dare you. The movie doesn't
there goes
know
that
what it,
contingent.
The movie doesn't know what it wants to be, and – also, the casting, Jennifer Aniston, God bless her, horrifically miscast. Ooh. Takes you completely out of the movie. The original script had...
Lynette Paladino agrees wholeheartedly.
As long as I have Lynette, I'm looking at you, particularly with these amazing glasses. Thank you, Lynette. She was horribly miscast. In the script, she just fucks Lumberg. The actual Lumberg, which is great. And it brings up all kinds of conversation about... What you would think if your, you know, girl that you were starting to date had somehow had sex with your enemy. Made him look bad, by the way. But they had to change it because it was Jennifer Aniston in the studio didn't like that because she was already Miss America on Friends. Horrible casting, but they needed someone quote-unquote famous. As a result, the guy that played Peter ended up even retreating even more into himself. He ended up being badly cast. The whole movie lost its trajectory because it never really had one, aside from its stupid tagline, work sucks. Move on from that. And
marketing is hard at work in that one, huh?
You'll find that the movie should have been, I'm sorry, not Michael Bolton, but the guy should have been Lumberg. Mm-hmm. It should have been from the manager's point of view where Lumberg finds the fact that he actually has a little bit of a soul and figures out a way from the way he's got to, in his horrible, soulless way, manage these people, realize what he's done to them, and make an actual arc. Because there's no arc in that movie. Mm. There's a hypnotized guy that just goes on to construction, and he'll quit that job in 3 weeks.
But hold on.
Believe me, I've done jobs like that. He will.
Do you need an arc in a comedy? I mean,
in a Mike Judge comedy, you do.
Naked Gun doesn't have the best arc, but man, it's fucking funny.
That's not a Mike Judge comedy.
Right.
He's given himself this whole universe, and we, as a result, as an audience, adhere him to that universe. This thing didn't know what it wants to be. Mike Judge has even admitted that he thought the ending was not good and was very abrupt and made zero sense. And from that reason alone, It was like an aborted fetus. It could have been something great.
Wow.
Should have said
that's
aborted
the best
fetus,
new emo band I've
but,
heard of.
It should have been Lumberg. It should have been focused on Lumberg. And when he wanted to do a follow-up on it, he wanted to put it in the perspective of a manager, but he never ended up doing
it. By the way, everyone, look at Bill's mug that says Inintech on here.
Inintech, I tried. Yes.
Fucking Carrot Top right here, everybody, bringing props to this shit.
Kate Hudson might have been better. It should have been a no name, but to put the focus on Peter was a mistake. He, to a lot of the points Joe made, he was not the best guy that we would want to put our focus on.
Give me a number, the two of you, each of you, I should say, 1 to 10.
You first.
There's certainly, like, some funny moments, but, yeah, I would give it a 5.
Oh.
It's it's vanilla. It's a bare minimum to be an okay movie.
How about you, Shelty Poo?
7.5.
Wow! Wow.
Look, what? She picked this movie. I'm trying. I like Office Space.
7.5.
Oh, it all comes out.
I like Joanne's point of saying it should have been Michael Bolton's point, because you're right. The soundtrack dictated everything. By the way, when was the last time you've ever been in a corporate America office and saw people's actual personal effects on the wall advertising gangster rappers, one of the things that they like? You know, I couldn't hang my NWA album cover on the fucking wall or whatever I wore.
I will take you that and raise you this. Whenever you see someone's personal effects on a cubicle, stay away from that.
Too much opinion?
Stay away. If they're troll dolls or if it's
troll dolls,
don't decorate your cubicle. Go there, leave. Don't make it yours.
One stuffed animal, you're like, fuck this, she is crazy, or he is crazy.
God, one thing. Guys, little bobblehead dolls all over the place. Fucking, they're going to shoot the place up.
That's like seeing a car with like 45 bumper stickers. Like, this person has way too many. And for me to say that, you have way too many opinions, there's a problem.
Yeah, inner office problems right there.
7.5 and a 5. Kevin Israel, let's see if we can figure this fucker out.
Yeah, so I'm stumped by everybody trying to figure out who this movie was supposed to be about. Of course, it's supposed to be about Peter. Peter's kind of the bland every guy that we can all put ourselves in their shoes, because we've all worked in a job like this. We've all worked in somewhere where we just didn't want to be there. And the amazing thing about this is, if anybody watched the show Severance, anyone watch Severance? That show is about exactly what Peter wanted to do to himself. It's all about a company where you go in and you completely detach from yourself while you work. And then when you leave, you become yourself again. So you never have any memory of being at work. And it was almost like, did they just watch Office Space and come up with this idea?
It's like the Men in Black Neuralizer.
Yeah,
right?
That's 100%, recall, like, it's 100% what it is. It's a really good show. If you haven't watched it, check it out.
Oh.
But Peter's supposed to be bland. I actually think it was perfect casting, because he's a decent looking guy, but not like crazy handsome. He's funny enough, but not hysterical.
He's beautiful.
He's just, all right, Jesus.
What?
But it's just supposed to be – he's supposed to be a space filler for the audience to say, oh, I can be in his shoes. We've all sat there and just stared at our screen and hoped the day passed. We all looked at our watch and been like, holy shit, it's only 30 minutes into the day. What the fuck am I going to do? We've all been there, and we've all lived this experience. We've all had some kind of job.
Yeah, so let's live it again and watch it. Like.
But
this guy gets promoted.
But he gets to do something that we never get to do. He gets to basically say, fuck the boss. And it's not – look, this isn't a perfect movie by any stretch of the imagination. It does lag in times. It's a little slow. The movie probably could have been 20, 25 minutes shorter.
This is an hour and a half long film.
Yeah, and
this
could
be short as a Disney fucking film from 1943.
It did seem longer.
It did drag at points. I think there are some great jokes. There are some great moments in it. But the point that it's trying to get to, it just takes forever to get there. And the payoff at the end isn't enough to make it – to warrant 85 minutes of runtime. But – as somebody who graduated college in 99 and was working in a giant office in 2000, right around that, just hearing somebody say the Y2K bug just brought me back. And I was like, wow,
weirdly
that was
nostalgic.
Like, we were fucking, if you don't remember the Y2K bug, people were losing their minds over it.
Absolutely.
Like, they were
stockpiling dry goods.
Yeah. Like, people were convinced that when it turned 12 o'clock in 1999, the world was going to end.
Right.
Like, our computer systems were – and then when it didn't, everybody was like, oh, fuck.
A little bit disappointed.
Were you? Well, you didn't change anything, because it didn't
way to save the world, Tony.
A year and a half of DeVry just to learn how to do that.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Slow down there, Harvard, all right?
All right, relax with your resume, dude.
Good God. Humble brag, dang.
This movie is such a moment in time, and I guess I get that probably people watching it who are – 35 or younger, probably can't appreciate how it's almost like going to a museum and seeing some of the you said, the floppy disk, the computers, the fax machine, all the stuff we labored with in the 90s and the early 2000s. That's not even an issue anymore. It's just the way people dressed, being the traffic scene. We've all been stuck in traffic. It was like Mike Judge was able to just take certain things and was like, "Oh, this is gonna hit." But then he didn't tie it together tightly enough, or with enough of a plot. The plot was kind of weak. But there was another movie, and it wasn't Superman 3, where they did exactly what they do in this. They take a percentage of something, and that
Big Top Pee Wee, right?
Yes, okay. Big Top. That was what it was. But so
it's code for pyramid.
So the movie is such a it captures a moment in time, and it's almost going to be. It's almost like people watching this 30 years from now, it's going to be like a period piece. They're going to be like, "Oh, that's what it was like in the early aughts," you know. But it doesn't carry over as great as a comedy. And it's funny because we just talked about Borat, and my only complaint with Borat was that it didn't have a narrative that runs through it to make it like a really full, complete movie. This movie has a narrative that runs through it, but not enough of the jokes and not enough tight ha-ha to make it run fast like a comedy should. A comedy should run on the jokes, and this movie just has jokes peppered in around this kind of loose plot that doesn't really work too well. I disagree with Jennifer Aniston critique, by the way. I think
she's terrible.
I think, but I don't think she's not supposed to be important. She's not. She's just supposed to be this pretty girl that he kind of falls for. It's not like she has this like great moment in the movie where, I mean, her biggest moment is where she gives the guy the finger. And by the way, if you ever worked, I've worked in tons of restaurants. If you've ever worked in a restaurant, I worked in Bennigan's and I worked in a Steak and Ale.
Stop bragging.
I know. Friendly's.
All better than being a lawyer, all that too.
Oh yeah, it was
Someone's
much better.
Put it on airs.
But if you've ever worked in those restaurants, that's exactly what it was like.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
I'll re-raise you. Waiting. You ever see Waiting?
Waiting.
That's fucking
I've
to the goddamn core.
I've never seen Antoine. That's awesome.
The movie sucked, but they had everything down to a fine science with it.
Right. The movie of Waiting, the story again, the plot isn't great, but they do capture all the misery of working in a restaurant. And this movie gets a little bit of it. So, you know, for me, it's tough because I saw this movie, I think, the year after it came out. And I remember loving it and being like, oh, my God, this is what my life is like.
Oh, I know where this is going now.
This is it. But even when you guys said that you picked Office Space, I was like, oh, shit, I love Office Space. Like, this was it's like almost remembering your, like, girlfriend in high school, and you're like, she was awesome. And then you see a picture of her, and you're like, yeah, I don't know. What was I so into? I just liked hand jobs. And that's what this is. This movie's kind of a dry hand job. You get off, but is it really that much fun?
No, chafing.
Not really.
How do you recall getting
Give me a number.
For me, it's a 5.5.
Oh, I knew I saw that tip coming a mile away. I'm like, oh, he's going to. Is this as bad of a heartbreak as Batman Returns was when we did this on the podcast?
No, Batman Returns
that
is
fucking
so much
still,
worse.
The still
that stung.
Did that.
It is a lovely look.
It is. Let's talk about guttingthesacredcow.com where you get some sweet-ass merch like this. Go check it out. Hats, bags, mugs, everything. If you want to advertise with us like the Athletic Greens folks have, guttingthesacredcow@gmail.com or just say hi, hello. Notes. Come on, iPhone.
What a dramatic sigh you just did.
Listen, 140 episodes. Right?
Sometimes he's got talent.
Fuck you, Tony. I hate you.
He's like the man in the sewer. He just keeps popping up.
You're like the opposite of Waldorf and Statler and the Muppets because you're like really down low.
That, you son of a bitch, by the best part of the Muppets.
Still down here, sir.
Why do the assholes who have personalized license plates feel the need to reiterate what their type of car is on their plate?
That's the worst.
Like with Lumberg and the Porsche. I'd almost rather appreciate someone who spells out Yaris on their license plate than Porsche. Michael Bolton looks like a less pussy version of Michael Cera.
Yeah.
Thank you. Jennifer Aniston. She must take a shit with the bathroom door open because her boyfriends keep dumping her, or they're forced to watch her shitty films. That's why dudes keep dumping her.
How dare you?
No, it's because she's crazy.
That's true, too.
Or just boring.
There is always someone working in the office who is the office fire alarm puller. Oh, my God, did you see the memo? Oh, my God, we're all getting fired. That guy, like, I know who that is. If you don't, then you're that person. This is the best comedy duo from Mike Judge, hands down. I love the way they would watch videos, try to score with chicks, and want to set things on fire. Oh, wait, I'm talking about Beavis and Butthead. They keep asking what you would do if you had $1 million. By the way, you know they wrote a song about if I had $1 million?
Mm-hmm. It was what the
Bare Naked Ladies.
Bare Naked, yeah. And they came up with it first, which
it was terrible.
Is horrible.
By the way, how far away in time are we when people are like, you know what I would do with $1 million?
Yeah.
How? 25 years later, almost.
I wouldn't be able to pay off my student debt. That's what I would do with $1 million.
Survivor still pays $1 million for their contestants. Like, bro, this shit started in 2000. Inflation is a motherfucker.
Yeah.
The mullet he has, his neighbor, that's straight business. The last time I saw a mullet like that, they were wearing a Donovan McNabb jersey selling nunchucks to Mexican kids. Mm-hmm. I have to shit on Eagle fans one every six episodes. I'm contractually obligated. Nothing like those morale boosters at work where you get to wear Wacky Shirt Day. I call that any day of the week at DMV. Or Compound Media. Why would this guy, if he's going to cut out work early, I'm a master of leaving work early and barely working. Why would you not do all your changes, save before having to leave? Like, why would you not save all that shit 20 minutes before you want to leave?
Yeah.
Rookie move, dickhead.
Yeah, very rookie move.
I would love for Anthony Cumia to tell Bill and Joe that they had to come in and do shows on the weekend. That would be funny to watch.
Well, we get paid per show, so bring it on. Yes. Done.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't stop staring at the therapist's bad hairpiece. How about you, folks?
Oh, so bad.
Right?
So bad.
I think I saw that thing meowing or whatever.
Wait, and the mole or whatever.
Yeah, no, the birthmark.
Yeah, I'm about, like that.
Those will offset me. Oh, gross.
Yeah.
Dude,
from Whose Line Is It
Anyway? You tell me, sewer guy.
No, the
I think
guy
you're
from,
right.
No.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know.
Not the hypnotist. The neighbor was from Whose Line Is It.
No, I think the hypnotist.
Is he?
Yeah.
Yeah, the original British one.
Really?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Wow, good. All right, Tony, go back under the sewer. We'll call you.
I don't blame Jennifer Aniston for not wanting to talk about her flair. The only flair I like talking about is Ric Flair. Woo!
It's because you look like him.
Did you all see the picture of Ric Flair on the train?
He looks terrible.
No, on the train. There's a picture.
No.
There's a picture.
In the movie?
No. On the internet, there was a picture that circulated that was allegedly of him.
Oh, yes. He's eating the chick out on the train.
Now, very flamboyant.
Whenever I see him, that's all I think of.
Steven Root is great in this as he is as Barry. If you have not watched Barry, it's one of the greatest shows I've got on late to. That's a great shout-out. Sweet Calculator, a watch by Michael Bolton. Everyone who had that watch used to cheat in math and type boobs or boobless for a chuckle or two. My brother had that watch. I'm throwing you right under the bus. See? Walking away from the boss is almost as good as a fucking a 10, right?
Oh man.
You must
you
be rock hard.
You do live vicariously when you look at that stuff, yeah.
The TPS reports, stapler, moving Milton to the basement jokes. Those are bells that have been rung too many goddamn times. People hang their hat on this movie for those three jokes, and they're not that great.
Mm.
People want a corporate America satire, and this has been the best, in quotes, of the few. Hence why this film is very overrated.
Ooh, boy.
I'm no computer criminal, but I'm pretty sure I would not label a virus.
I know.
As the file name.
Terrible plan, bro.
Maybe I'm just a little smarter than the average cyber thief, but goddamn. I mildly enjoyed watching Watered Down Stifler, Kevin Israel. I know we're a sucker for Stifler. And his O-face soliloquy. He looks like every guy wearing a backwards pair of Oakleys on it has a VIP card at TGI Fridays.
I thought that guy was Kevin Goatee, actually.
I knew that was coming.
Yeah.
I knew that was coming from one of you, not two of you, you fucking turncoat. You're on my side, Joanne.
He had better highlights.
No, she's not.
I don't have highlights.
took the good.
I've laughed harder at Jennifer Aniston in Office Space than I did in the very few three-minute clips I've seen her in every Friends episode. See, she's such a blah actress that even Jennifer Lawrence would have been a better choice. Watch this. Trigger warning.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
See?
Yeah, nice one.
Yeah, no.
She's such a blah.
Yeah. Hates Jennifer Lawrence.
This movie is a reminder why I started this podcast, to get the fuck out of corporate America.
Yeah.
Oof. Besides, I have to fly friends out into Vegas in two private jets at a Teeter Boat in a few years. I made a promise. Thank you. Bill Lumber looks like dog shit for 41 years of age, folks. Let's just call that as we see it. Looks terrible. An hour and 10 in, and we have our first black guy. Way to go, Mike Judge. I saw this film in college in 1999. I don't give a shit. I just dated myself again. And I said the same thing now I said then. This film is very overrated. This film hangs itself on a very few amount of jokes. Yes. Oh, I know a guy like that. Oh, I know a girl like that. Oh, that's cute. I have a guy at work who does that stuff. Oh, they use those cliches, too. That is it. The plot line you mentioned before, yes, there's a plot line. We can all appreciate it. But the problem, as I said before, a million fucking times, comedies do not need to have solid narratives. I want jokes. And this film did not have many jokes. It did not have many jokes. Agreed. And the same jokes they did, they repeated that were not worth bearing repeating. 4.5 out of 10.
Woo. It doesn't age well. Although I have to ask, all right, very quickly. Off the record table, we're in an intimate environment. When Lumberg is the catalyst for them breaking up because he thinks that Jennifer Aniston slept with him, show of hands from the ladies in the audience, or men, did some of you secretly have a little bit of a crush on the awful person that was Bill Lumberg in that movie? I'm not talking about me, the lesbian dressed up as him, but the actual Bill Lumberg.
Paladino,
show of hands,
no.
Be honest. I
like, oh, like,
thank
what,
you,
what,
Lynette. Lynette? Thank you, Lynette.
Now's not the time to workshop your material, Paladino. I've heard this bit 25 times.
Yeah. Oh, hard no, really? Well, I guess that's why she's my ex.
He's a solid.
I had an ex-girlfriend that had a big crush on him.
He's a solid actor, though.
Yeah, he's an entourage.
Oh, are you kidding? Gary Cole, he's the best. Yeah. Talladega Nights, he like lost weight for a comedy role. Because he tried to look like Matthew as Will Ferrell's dad, yeah.
Let's hear what those folks who wear Bill Schultz's glasses think. Critics, five-star reviews.
Critics, five-star reviews. Critics, five-star reviews. Critics, five-star reviews.
Office Space will move you with its subtle philosophical theme and keep you entertained with jokes that contributed to the internet's age of memes.
Not got to get too many of them, man.
This motherfucker. Not only made a satire on office life, but makes comments on white guys listening to gangster rap. I am attacked at this fucking point. For all of you listening to Backspin 43, this person go fuck themselves.
Made it.
But we've all done the lower the volume.
Oh, 100%.
We've all lowered the
especially
volume.
When Anti Up comes on. For those of you who can relate to dying a little every day in the cubicle, this film is for you. True. Imagine a live-action version of Dilbert or In the Company of Men, reconceived as a lighthearted romp, and you get the idea of Office Space, the auspicious live-action debut of Mike Judge. This film does not make a strong case for Judge to move beyond cartoons to live actors. Yes! Oof. Beavis and Butthead, one of the top five shows of all time. I'll fight you where I stand.
It's because you look like Beavis.
Well, it's funny, too. Mm-hmm.
Well done, Bill.
Thank you.
Finally, I mean, we have eyes.
Finally. Critics, one-star reviews.
Critics, one-star reviews. Critics, one-star reviews.
Isn't it a shame that people expect certain conventions from their movies? I'm reading this verbatim. Niggling little things into interesting plots with beginnings, middles, and ends, and maybe a little character development thrown in for good measure. Why does this person have to throw that word in there just to make people fucking cringe? I read a thesaurus. I'm going to try and say something that's going to get people in trouble. A shapeless comedy of little merit. So much dull non-humor. Runs out of steam while meandering through what becomes a less than inspired comedy caper.
I agree with that.
Fails to sustain its comic momentum or high energy level.
I don't think it's had a higher energy level to begin with.
Nope.
Needed more energy. Yeah.
Amazon five-star reviews.
Amazon five-star reviews. It's time for Amazon five-star reviews. Five-star reviews.
1999's Office Space runs the absurdity of white-collar employment straight up the corporate flagpole. Few satires are as timeless and widely relatable as this ode to the dehumanized work-face warrior as its magically sketched characters and ingenious dialogue, fuck you, endure as reference points in water-cooler conversations across the land. Words!
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Someone's, like, auditioned to be a I don't know.
This is their monologue to memorize for an audition. Hello, Amazon reviewers. What's happening? I'm going to go ahead and ask you like this movie because it's great. Quote, hate working in the office environment. I brought this one to relive the memories this gem holds, and I love every second of it. For those who have had their own red swing line stapler stolen, you should see this. So if you can just go ahead and buy now, that'll be great, okay? Thanks a lot, everybody. This type of person sounds like they take about 5 minutes to hang up the phone when talking to somebody.
By the way, Swingline apparently made like a buttload off of red staplers after this
movie. They discontinued them and then restarted them for this film. bonus fun facts. See, guys?
Yeah, they had two.
You're getting your $40 worth today.
The stapler for the movie because they didn't have any.
Office Space is required viewing in a similar vein to Clerks. No, it's not.
Oh, what?
That's an insult to a top comedy.
Oh, way better than Clerks.
What?
Clerks is the most overrated.
Get the fuck out of New Jersey.
It. Guys, you
get
said out of the last Jersey. Time this podcast.
It's black and white, and Kevin Smith is just doing it on his own. Office Space kills Clerks.
I wish Bill Schultz would end up like the Jewish guy in the bathroom jerking off who died.
Pause. Wait a second.
What? Where she goes and fucks the dead guy in the bathroom?
Oh. You come to New Jersey.
Yeah.
You dare besmirch the name of Clerks.
Yeah.
I don't like
Go ahead and slander Dogma for all we care, but not Clerks. How dare you?
Dogma's horrible, too.
Office Space is required. I already said that one. Next. Okay. Fall down, laugh out loud, funny, and too close to real life. From the daily commute to the Cube Farms, prairie dogging. Prairie? Where the fuck was that in? The worthless paper-pushing boss and the GD printer that shows a paper jam when there is no paper jam. Oh, my dog. Someone's dyslexic. This is funny and worthy of its cult movie status, but is a standalone masterpiece of hilarity. Diedrich Bader is such an understated actor and a hoot in this one. Even Jennifer Aniston is funny with her flight over mandatory pieces of flair. Once you've seen yourself watching it many times, just because you've seen a little piece of your one life being portrayed in it. I copy and paste. I don't edit. I like the Oh My Dog because I can't say God.
Fucking
well,
A.
Hi Dilly Ho, signed by Ned Flanders. Oh. There's now we know the voiceover work. That was my role, I thought. We had this film on VHS, which we retired when DVDs became popular, but it is difficult to find older films sometimes on DVD. Oh, we had a dog. His name was Bingo, and B-I-N-G-O was his name-o, but Bingo got rabies, and we had to retire him. No, I made that last part up. Thanks, Katie.
I was right there with you.
I know.
I totally sell it. I was like an Old Yeller.
Amazon one-star reviews.
Amazon one-star reviews.
We realized it was supposed to be somewhat offensive, but remembered watching it on TV a few years back and loved it. However, did not realize now the unedited version had so much foul language.
Oh, my.
And nudity in the first 15 minutes could have been a great
one
movie.
One boob.
Okay, yeah. So that was the unedited version. I was going to say, I did not remember that scene with the boobs.
Was that her, by the way?
Was who, that Aniston?
No. Was that the girl? Because he's like, doesn't this look like your girlfriend?
No. That girl is married to George Stephanopoulos. That's Allie Wentworth.
Wow.
Yeah.
Someone took a deep dive.
I'm a fan of Allie.
How many lives were saved from showing?
Thank you.
How to correctly do a breast check.
Come here, Bill. Let's
see.
You're
absolutely right. That was not in the original movie. I always remember a boob. You know this. We basically have a Mr. Skin segment. I do not remember that scene in the original movie.
I do. Yeah, that was there.
Okay.
I think I've seen this twice. I have no idea if the boob was there or not, but I'll defer.
That rare PG-13 with tit, like
one
Titanic.
This is R. This is R. I thought.
No, it's PG-13.
I have to look at that.
It's PG-13.
No, it's R, right? It's too many fucks in there. You only get one fuck for PG-13.
It is PG-13.
No.
Oh, my God.
Google me right, STST guys.
I believe it's PG-13.
Another pointless movie, this one with no plot, abysmal acting, and not one sympathetic character. Jennifer Aniston provides us a pretty face, but not much else. If you enjoyed The Object of My Affection, this movie will be right down your alley. Otherwise, be forewarned. Object of My Affection. Who wrote that? Jay Moore?
Michael Bolton was sympathetic.
Jay Moore is the co-host in that. All right. I did not order this, and there seems to be a problem as there's no way to submit a concern on a help screen or a customer service number. I ordered it 11 days ago, and tonight it showed up as I had ordered it again. I did not. After much hunting around, I finally figured out how to cancel it.
Rated R.
Is it rated R?
Rated
really?
Yeah, of course it is.
Sex and nudity, mild.
Where's the sex?
Profanity, severe.
Yeah, there's no sex. There's a simulated scene with
a leg.
There's a naked breast. That's all it takes, man.
Yeah.
Just one naked breast.
We see titties in the 80 films and PGs.
The world falls apart.
Oh, my God. We're so jaded. Hey, Kevin Israel, did Bill and Joanne gut the sacred cow?
This is a hard one for me because Bill gave it a 7.5.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, you're out of
your
fucking...
Be honest with you, people.
7.5 is like a great movie.
Yeah.
7.5 is...
I like Office Space. Okay. Look, but I have to give Joe credit, and I hate saying that sentence. when she picked this, I was like, fuck, what am I going to do?
I loved it.
I have lost a good amount of respect for it. Seen it in hindsight. I see a lot more of its flaws. Yeah,
Kev,
it's a warm blanket. I still joke.
You can change your 7.5 right now.
All right.
Well, yeah.
Well, S6, okay?
Ooh, a point and a half degradation.
It's weird that you get off on that.
I do.
I love that one number.
I love when I'm just right all the time. That's what I love. Kevin, go ahead.
I'm going to do something that we've never done before.
Stop.
I'm going to say that this movie was gutted, but by you and me.
Yeah!
You navel-gazing narcissist. You both are Peter.
Oh.
In the worst way possible.
Fantastic. I'll take it.
Listen, this, I don't know. I feel guilty. I want to say this was Jordan to, this was Pippen to Rodman to Jordan with the three of us and you on the outside without the Bill ref, Bill's boyfriends.
Yeah, no,
Joanne had a nice hand, but I think we did the final coup de grace and got the carotid. Yeah. Audience, what do you think? Holds up or no? Yay or nay? Yay. I can't. Yays, hands in the air. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. How about nays? 1, 2, 3. Is that a hand raised, Katie Cohen's sister? No. Just scratching your hair? That's cool.
Wow, all right.
The yays hold on. Well, you're all dumb, fuckos. Yeah. How about that? No, I'm just kidding.
That was personal. Although I have to say, we didn't hear a lot of belly laughs tonight.
I forgot to write that down. I sat here listening, go, not many people are goofawing. So
it might be because we've all seen it so many times.
Yeah.
There was one, and I don't remember what it was, but there was one joke where everyone in the theater laughed.
The flare with the Jewish people. That one was the one. But that's
okay.
Bill, and I hate giving you credit. That's a fan, and I forgot to write it down. A fantastic opportunity. You people were not dying laughing throughout the film.
They've probably seen a lot of times. I'm guilty of that.
I watched Borat for our podcast just the other day, and I still fucking laughed like a maniac on that. And that film's 15 years old. 16 years old.
By the way, Bruno.
Still
underrated.
Funny. Still
Bruno,
funny. Very
Bruno's
funny.
Fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
A gay minstrel show, but fantastic.
You say that like it's a bad thing.
You took it the way you wanted to take it.
Meow. Hey, Joanne, where can we find you? What are you up to?
You can watch Bill and I every Monday through Thursday at noon on CompoundMedia.com for our new old show, Back Talk. You can see wonderful segments like Nude for Thought and Top Poop and Bare Minimum.
What was the pun one you had the other day when I was on? I cracked up at the pun one I was laughing at.
TikTok people?
No, the other one.
That's literal.
You don't know Joe?
No, never mind. All right, forget it. Sorry to derail the show.
We have so many segments.
I know.
Check us out there. You can also go to our YouTube channel, and you can see, like, old clips and things and interviews and stuff. So,
how about you, Billy Boy?
Congratulations to Douglas and Joanne. I'm very happy. But here's a question. Does she get the weird, almost Hollywood last name of Goodhart, or does she stick with the even weirder Nosochinski?
Wow.
I call her that after the show.
Hyphenation. Hyphen it.
Yeah, are you kidding me? Way too long.
I like it.
Congratulations, guys. And the last thing I would say is Mark Twain was the one that said that stupid cliche, if you find a job you love, then you've never worked a day in your life. Fuck you, Mark Twain. You can say that because you are Mark Twain. You're not like the rest of us. It's a little harder. And Office Space didn't answer that question.
You can also find Bill Schultz next to me at the Chicago White Sox-Yankees game this year where I call a triple play right before it happens in the ninth inning.
Yes, I've already given you credit for that.
Jamming that thought on.
Sad that you held on to it that much.
Kevin Israel, how about you, sir?
Well, first of all, leave us a 5-star rating and a couple-sentence review on your podcast platform of choice. It means so much to us. Kevin Gotee just found a great one today.
I'm going to read it because it's so fucking funny.
Hollered out.
I'm going to read it. It's very
different. Was a dirty limerick.
Here I sit, brokenhearted, paid a quarter, then I farted. The phone is ringing, so I may not linger. So look out, but here comes my finger. Beavis and Butthead, 1993.
And then I added also Guardian Sacred Cow. Rhyme at the end. But.
This one is, if you're a fan of the show, you're going to love this for many reasons. Accidentally bought for $1.99 and Amazon has yet to refund my account. decided to check out the back catalog. The hosts think they invented the remote test, in quotes. The remote test, in quotes, will never be part of the cultural zeitgeist.
You pronounce it correctly.
Our favorite person, whoever this is. Whoever you are, hero.
Yeah. Oh, that's this is a path to remote test for you folks. Bill, this is a path to remote test for you.
Oh, always.
Joanne, probably not. Israel?
Mm.
Definitely not for me either. Okay.
Or and go to KevinIsrael.com for my comedy dates.
Yes. And GuttingTheSacredCow.com for other shenanigans. KevinGoatee.com.
Neither pass the remote test. That two things.
Oh. Jesus. Glad you jumped on my plug for that, but thanks. KevinGoatee.com, GuttingTheSacredCow.com. But most important, thank all of you for coming to hang out.
Thanks.
You guys are the tits hanging out. This is always so much fun. Love hanging out, seeing all you folks. And for those of you listening, eat a dick for not being here. Maybe you'll come here next year. Love you all. Thanks again. See you later. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yay. Thank you all.
You guys are the best.
Yeah, thanks for hanging out.